One of the more colourful news stories out of the Czech Republic last year concerned Corrupt Tour, which started running excursions in Czech, English and German to sites linked to graft. These include the villas of dodgy businessmen, Prague City Hall, and the spot where the city's Olympic Centre was projected to stand. The creator of the unique travel agency is Petr Šourek, a Prague man in his 30s. When he stopped by our studio, we discussed the Corrupt Tour concept and where they take sightseers.
The most places we take people to, we call the monuments of corruption. You should know that in this country, we've got something special. The police and the public prosecutors, they are strikingly inactive in many cases. Effectively, they are protecting, well, not only them, but somebody else probably is protecting older cases. So these cases can be like 10 years old, and there is a situation that there are many legends, or people just know about things that happened there, and media has written about it extensively, even though nothing really happened in because Prague is full of monuments. So we said, well, these monuments of corruptions are actually monuments and they are well protected. Just one example, the City Hall of Prague, the place where the headquarters, so-called of this city, the municipal offices. Actually, this place was rented for money which could be easily bought. And it's the money actually go to the companies whose owners nobody knows and so on. There are many, many things like this. Then we take them to, I don't know, Ministry of Defense, which is famous for such cases. And we took them to the castle as well. At that time, Václav Klaus was outgoing president at the time because we put them on sale.
What do you mean by that?
The outgoing president at the time was just deeply unpopular. And if the staff in your shop is not really popular with your customers, what do? You put it on sale. You discount it. So we decided to discount the president. We just made this tour cheaper.
The Corrupt Tour has been running, I guess, for a year and a few months. How has it developed over that time?
It didn't develop so much. I mean, the situation actually developed very much. It was not so much us who developed. Of course, we changed some tours because we are changing our destinations. We keep it fresh. Sometimes we add something, sometimes we cancel something.
When I first heard about the Corrupt Tour at the beginning of last year, I thought this is going to be a media hit internationally. It's a great name, it's a great subject. I didn't think it would last for more than 2 or 3 months. Did you think it would last so long?
Well, I was surprised myself as well. I mean, everybody was surprised, but the important thing is, you know, we were not aiming so much at media as it could look like. I mean, at the very beginning, you know, we really, I mean, our target group are people who go for tours. This is our target group. Our clients are not usual, you know, clients of usual tour companies. So these are people who just for the first time in their life really sit in the bus and hear, listen to a guide. You know, these people are the most important for us. We do our business for them and with them, and they pay it, you know. Well, media are important part of it. And we, of course, we base our tours on media reports and so on. So it's just a part of it. But, I mean, it was not done for media.
I can understand the Czech people being interested in the Corrupt Tour because they know the scandals, they know the people involved in the scandals, they know the background. But tourists surely can't know about this. What's the attraction for the tourists?
The Corrupt Tour itself, because it's truly unique. Corruption is everywhere. But the corruption tourism is only, in this time, is here in Prague. So they come to see something special, what they can't see anywhere in the world.
I saw an old interview with you in which you spoke about the idea of the Corrupt Tour maybe starting a franchise and being, in a sense, exported to other countries where there is corruption, which I guess is a lot of countries. Has that happened at all?
Well, it's a quite difficult negotiations about it, because of course the people got some idea derived from media reports on us, and they were very different than various reports. People from other parts of the world, they ask different questions, you know, so sometimes they have got a different idea about what all the thing about. But actually, then we have to explain them how we do it, what's the most important part to us, and sometimes it's difficult to swallow, I think.
Have you had much reaction from the people who you are, in a sense, fingering in your corrupt tour? I'm talking about politicians or dodgy businessmen whose villas you take people to. Have they reacted?
Basically, they are silent.
But nobody's threatened you or anything like that?
No, I don't. I really don't want to dramatize it in any way. It's dramatic enough.
Well, I'm glad to hear that nobody's threatened you. Do you think that there's any chance at all that through your corrupt tour that you can spur some change, even the smallest change in this area, corruption?
It much depends what's change for you. There are two different things, which I'm... one of them is very important to me, and another one is of minor significance. The big question for me is why they are scared about... why they can't speak about something they know for sure. And that was my primary target. So if people can speak about it, it's okay. And it changed a lot actually in the last year here in this country. So we were part of this. Whether we really contributed to it much or less or more, I don't know, you know. But well, we've seen results. At least the people on our tours, they are very outspoken. So they can communicate with each other. They see other people who are interested in the topic. They see nobody tries to curb their their speech or whatever. Well, if you look at the, let's say, some prosecutions and so, it's not our job at all. Actually, to us, these are vandals, which is destroying our precious heritage. Because, you know, corruption is mankind's heritage, after all.
I'm sure you've thought about this a lot. In the longer term, what can be done? Everybody talks about corruption here. It makes everybody sick. Everyone talks about it all the time. What can be done to reduce it over time?
The biggest problem are double standards. The second problem is that people want to be good twice, as I call it. It means I'm good enough to let the point on the other people and say, well, they do something wrong and so on. On the other hand, I'm good because I don't want to rat them, you know? So they are somehow good twice.
So you're thinking people should report other people for being corrupt?
Well, if you know something for sure and you don't like it, then, I'm asking myself what you do. That's your responsibility, because you know. If I don't know, it's difficult. I'm not judging anyone. I'm just trying to understand what the people say. Well, I know this. In the general terms, I will tell you. But if it comes to the specifics, I'm silent again, and I'm very loyal to anyone.
And are you optimistic that things can improve in this regard?
Yeah, they're like 200 miles from our borders. In Germany, the situation is like different planet. Czech Republic is exactly of the size of Bavaria. In Bavaria, the culture was very similar in respect to corruption as in Czech Republic. The culture changed significantly over the last 30 years, I would say. But there were shining examples of how corrupt politicians could be in the in the Bavarian history. If you look at Austria, where the situation is pretty bad, or was pretty bad, the delay of Czech Republic is like 1.5 years, because there are already big cases prosecuted now in Austria. So they are the neighboring countries, you know, so you have to, you can compare with something comparable.